The engine room can be an absolute beast. I have mentioned that people swear at me, walk away from me, want out of the room when we're doing this in person, because it's also a very concentrated way of doing it. It is a very different approach to what you're used to, but getting increasingly familiar with this will take you straight into and keep you in the gold zone every time you speak. Welcome to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast for the entrepreneurs, the subject matter experts, and the difference makers who want to unlock the power of speaking driven strategies to accelerate impact, influence, and revenue. I'm your host, Jacqueline Nagel, and this is the place for straight talking, easy to implement 20-minute or less business speaking and communications insights and lessons, which will help you break through from unheard of to in demand. Let's go. So welcome to the engine room construction episode. And this is actually really about how you become a memorable speaker. This is, as I've been iterating over and over again throughout these episodes, this is actually how you embed yourself into the cellular memory of your audience. It is also, believe it or not, the way that we actually become more referable, because the strength and the power in the engine room means that you become someone that other people want to hear. You become someone that people want to refer you through to other work. People start to recognize the generosity and the authenticity and the uniqueness of what it is that you bring to the table. So the engine room is a place where we build on the connection and the trust created on the way in. And this is where we get to create transformational change in our audiences. It is where we give the best we have to give, the insights, the research, the understanding, the thinking, the strategies, the how-tos, the perspectives. This is where we do the teaching. But right now, if you're actually following along and doing this at home, you're probably thinking, so I literally have one big mess of post-it notes up on my wall and absolutely no idea what to do next. In our live workshops, people often swear at me, want to walk out, start doodling endlessly, start avoiding and going and doing other things, or suddenly have to do phone calls because it is starting to all swirl around and make no sense. So let's start with some sense making, shall we? Let's start with the very next steps that we do, which is cluster, clump, and dump. It kind of sounds a little strange, right? Well, this is actually where we unlock your hidden genius. And just a quick reminder, at this point, you are still not touching Google, your laptop, or your devices. This is all just what you know to be true. So let's walk you through the cluster, clump, and dump process. First of all, we're going to cluster, right? So you need to step back from the wall where you can look at all the post-it notes, wherever they may be. Some people do it really neatly. Some people, it's an absolute mess. There's no right or wrong at this point. There is also no judgment yet as to what is going to stay in and what is going to go in your engine room. So we want all parts to still be showing up. So when you step back from that wall, what you're going to be doing first of all is creating clusters. Now, clusters are columns. So you're going to be moving all the post-it notes around and you're going to be putting columns together, clusters together, which are columns down one after the other of all the things that are thematically the same, right? So by thematically the same, I mean, they're speaking to the same idea, the same sub-idea, the same strategy, the same methodology. We're going to actually get them all together. And there's no right or wrong in this. So, and what I mean by that, and that comes from a quantity perspective. So some of your clusters or your columns may only have two post-it notes and some may have 20, right? It's not about getting them balanced and making them look right. It's not about any of that. What we're looking for is we want you to cluster first. So you're getting all the things that are speaking thematically the same or supporting thematically the same ideas and sub-ideas and elements into the same cluster or column. So that's step number one. Step number two is we want to clump, right? So going cluster by cluster, column by column, what we want to do is we want to look at these weird and wonderful columns and we actually want to put the post-it notes together. So one on top of the other that are saying the same thing. Now, they may be saying exactly the same thing or the same thing, but differently, or so close it's crazy to keep those things as separate things. But what we do is we take those post-it notes saying the same things and we just put them all on top of each other, right? And this is what creates clumps, right? It's actually stacked post-it notes where we're saying the same, but different, or really saying it's not so distinctly different that it can't be put together. Now, once you finish that process, so go through all of your clusters or your columns. And I don't care if you've got two columns and clusters or three clusters or 10 clusters or 20 clusters, but just work through all of your clusters and columns and clump all the things that are saying the same, same, but different on top of each other. Then what I want you to do, once you've gone through all, is go back to the first cluster again. And I want you to actually pull off each clump, go through them, and put the most powerful one on top, the most powerful, the most important, or the most surprising one on top. Right? And then what you're going to do is you're going to do that through all of the clusters from start to finish. And then you're going to swing back once more. And what we're going to do next is we're going to start the dump process. But before we can start the dump process, we must do this. We must take all of those clumps in each cluster and prioritize them in order of importance. Right? So what you're going to want to do is you're going to actually want to take all of those clumps and prioritize them most important at the top down to least important. Because part of the dumping process that comes next, we need to make sure we're getting the most powerful and important things to the top of this grid that's starting to appear before your eyes. Now, one of the things that is really important to remember with this is it must be the most powerful for the audience, not the things that you are most in love with. It has to be the things that are most powerful for the audience that support your topic and will actually build into the gift. So once you've done that process, then we're ready for stage three, which is the dumping. So far you have clustered and you have clumped. As part of the clumping to get ready for dumping, you have now prioritized. Now, I'm going to speak into why this happens, but you're actually going to take everything that is from position four in those clusters and you're going to move them down. Right? So you're going to create a break between the top three in each and the ones underneath it. And we're literally dumping the ones underneath it. And this is where it gets so hard for so many people. If you're doing this for the first time, I'll allow you to keep four or five at the moment, but you'll see where it comes true and why you need to do what we're about to do. So you're going to dump those down. Then what you're going to do is you're going to choose your most powerful clusters. Our most powerful clusters are not to be confused with the ones with the most in it. The most powerful clusters are what are the things that speak uniquely and truly into your experience, your perspective, your knowledge, your methodologies, your frameworks. What are the ones that have been most powerful for shifting the ideas, the thinking, the perspectives, the knowledge, the understanding, the ability of your audience, not you, your audience. What are the most powerful clusters that are going to actually speak into the gift and build on the gift and deliver the gift. Now, those most powerful clusters, you're going to be choosing three or five depending on your format, right? I'm going to go into that format in just a moment because this is really important. So just to run through that, we're going to cluster, which means putting all the same things that are thematically the same, or all the things, the post-it notes that are thematically the same into the same column. We are then going to clump. So in each cluster, we're going to put the things that are saying the same, same, but different, one on top of the other. And then we're going to prioritize those clumps so the most powerful or important post-it note is on the top of each clump. Then we're going to prioritize in each cluster. We're going from order of importance from one down. We're going to prioritize those clumps and post-it notes in each cluster. So we've got the most important at the top going down to the least important at the bottom, right? And then we're going to dump. We're going to move everything from position four and below down the wall, right? Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is that when you move those down the wall and they're possibly going to get dumped, and maybe some of your clusters will as well, what I want you to understand is that you don't lose them. They can become topics for video content. They can become blog topics. They can become social media content topics. They can also become a whole other keynote. We had one woman in one of our workshops who actually had well over 100 post-it notes, and she ended up with an incredible amount that had to be dumped, which was really painful for her. But what we discovered out of this process was it wasn't that they just needed to be dumped into blog content. She actually had three different keynotes within what she knew to be true and three very different perspectives. So don't see it as you're losing it, right? Just see it as you're strengthening what's going to go into this keynote, into this speech, into this presentation, because that's what matters. So let's get down to whether you're choosing three or five clusters, shall we? So if you're a subject matter expert, you're going to be choosing three clusters. because as a subject matter expert, you're going to have three clusters by three key points. And the reason for this is what we call the matrix. It's a 3x3 matrix, which is giving you 9 core chunks of information. Now, if you remember back in the structure episode, we talked about why the number 7 is so important. So number 7 is important because we can actually absorb, as your audience, we can absorb 7 plus or minus 2 chunks of information at any one time. So the maximum we should be giving our audience from a chunk of information perspective is 9. And you don't know the capacity of your audience. You don't know people's individual capacity to absorb. And so if somebody actually is learning all of this for the first time or it's really blowing their minds, you can't give them any more than 9 because you'll overwhelm them. If they're starting at 0, you can't put more than 9 chunks of information into the engine room. And the reason being, as I've said before, and I'll reiterate for you again, the reason being is that when somebody hits a point of overwhelm, they don't just delete what comes after that and they don't actually choose what they want to retain. They delete everything. And that is not what I want for you. So if you are a subject matter expert, you will do the 3x3 matrix more than likely. If you are looking for a main stage keynote, what we're actually wanting you to land is 5 bold ideas. Now, some people will have 7 and that's fine, but we're going to talk about what you do with that. So ideally with a main stage keynote, it's 5 bold ideas or 5 big ideas. And those 5 things are literally your most powerful 5 clusters. So subject matter expert gets to keep 3 clusters and a main stage keynote gets to keep 5, maximum 7 clusters. And we're going to talk about how you treat them so you don't go over the 9 chunks of information. Now, there is also another thing that I want to give you a hint on. And some of you already are aware of this because you know what happens with pricing strategies and with tactics and steps. We choose 3, 5, or 7 because when we actually give people an odd number, we tend to default to binary thinking. So if we get an even number of points or an even number of ideas or an even number of strategies, so 2, 4, 6, or 8, for example, we actually neurologically think that we have everything. We feel as though it's complete because we have both and we're binary. If we actually give 3, 5, or 7, we haven't closed the binary loop and people will stay open to more information. And that's the reason why we do it. The brain needs a minimum of 3 to be able to make sense of something. But as we said, once you get past 7 plus or minus 2 chunks, so 9 at a maximum, the brain will also delete it all. So on one hand, we need at least 3 for the brain to be able to sense make in our audience, the brains are within our audience. On the other hand, we need to make sure that we don't overwhelm those brains and have them deleting everything we've said. So the next question usually is, which format am I? Subject matter expert or main stage keynote? And the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter whether you're keynote speaking or business building or expert positioning. You can be either or. So both formats work for all styles of speakers. It will be where you naturally feel more familiar. And for those of you who've been through the process with us, your archetype also feeds into that. If you have a lot of teaching or methodology to share, then do the subject matter expert, the 3x3 matrix. Now, if we think about keynote topics as well and keynote speakers, what I will tell you is some of the most successful speakers in Australia are actually subject matter expert speakers using the 3x3 matrix from a big stage. So they're what we call big stage educators, and they will land 3 core strategies, 3 key chunks of information every time, right? So it's actually not getting hung up on the type of speaker you want to be. It's what is the format that is really going to land it for you. So some people need to run with the 5 big ideas, right? What are the 5 big ideas that are coming through? What are the 5 big ideas that you want to shift? That's a main stage keynote. If you are a motivational, inspirational speaker, and especially if you're speaking from lived experience, it is more than likely going to be a main stage keynote. If you're speaking from worked experience, it is more than likely going to be a subject matter expert, unless you're lifting above and out of the how-tos and going to the, the big, bold ideas that overarch your experience, right? So now reviewing where you've got the most powerful, and remember, it's the best of you, not all of you, with looking at your clusters and your clumps. What is the next step? You've chosen your 3 most powerful clusters or your 5 most powerful clusters, depending on the format. How do we bring it together? How do we bring it into a format in each cluster that you can see what you do and don't have and start making sense of where you're going to go with this. Well, let's work through the starting format, shall we? And I'm going to say starting format here because this is how we start the structure, but it's literally just to map it, right? It's not the be all and end all of exactly how you'll end up. But what we have discovered is by following this format to map each of your clusters in the speech, it really helps to bring a clear focus through. Okay. So I'm going to walk you through a format, and there's a worksheet that's going to be downloadable from our show notes for you. And that format is actually going to be available for you to use forevermore because this is a really good starting point whenever you're putting something together. So I'm going to work through this. Each one of these worksheets is done per cluster, right? Really important to understand that. This is per cluster. So what we're going to do is number one is what is the quick scene set? So this is, as I said, is a map, right? Some people put this into a Canvas format and have it on the wall with post-it notes. Some people have it as a fill in the gaps as down a page, which is the worksheet that we're going to give you, but it's not all of it. It's just the basics. We're just mapping it out, right? So what is the quick scene set? And what we mean by quick scene set is how are you going to open to set up the scene? Is there research you want to share? Data you want to share? Insights, perspective, micro stories, big stories? Is it quotes and metaphors? Like how is it that you're going to open and set the scene for what this is going to be? Now, number two is actually what this is, because we don't open with what this is. We open with a scene set to get people engaged, and then we go to what this is. Number three, what will I be teaching or sharing in this cluster? Number four is key chunk one. Number five is key chunk two. And number six is key chunk three. Now, guess where these come from? That's right. They come from the top three clumps or post-it notes in each cluster. Simply, the simplest way to do this is not question it, just populate them over. You're still going to see if it's right or if it's wrong. Now, if you're actually teaching something in that cluster, what I would suggest is key chunk one. So number four, key chunk one is actually an example of something done or the problem. Key chunk two, point number five, is actually why this matters. And key chunk three, number six, is actually the how of how they get it done. And that's if you're specifically teaching a strategy, unlocking a model, you know, unfolding a framework, right? That is how I would do four, five, and six. When you're looking at the worksheet in front of you, it will make sense. Then number seven is how will I close this out? So what is it you're going to do to bring it to a close and conclusion before you move to the next cluster? Then number eight, I want you to check in. Have you created a model or a methodology or a framework around this? And we don't modelize because we're going to share three or five models in a keynote. We modelize because we want to make sure that our thinking is really clear. So have you created a model or a methodology to crystallize your thinking around this, right? And then number nine is the bonus question, right? What am I missing? What do I need to go and find? What do I need to strengthen here, right? So get it all out, make it simple. Don't actually labor this first run through. This is literally just a run through map just to actually get into some sort of framework and to really be able to see the gaps that you currently have. So because you're listening to me, I'm just going to run through those one more time in simple format. And I really do encourage you to download the worksheet that we've added for you in the show notes. So number one is what is the quick scene set? Number two is what is this? Number three is what will I be teaching or sharing in this cluster? Number four is key chunk one. Number five is key chunk two. Number six is key chunk three, which will have come across from the post-it note activity that you've just done with a cluster clump and dump. Number seven is how will I close this out? And number eight is have I created a model or a methodology around this just to crystallize my thinking, even if I don't share it? And number nine is a bonus question. What is still missing? What do I need to find? How can I strengthen this even more? This is the way that we actually pull it all together and just map it. It's not fleshing it out, but it's mapping it so that you are actually very directed to stay on track for what is most powerful about what you know and what you pull together and what you share, right? So I also want to speak very quickly into if you've got five or seven ideas in a main stage keynote or five or seven elements in what you're sharing. We are going to do this full page for every single one of them, so you've got them. But you are actually only going to deep dive on three. So if you've got five or seven, you're going to go across all of them with this quick scene set, what this is, and you will talk into why it matters, but you won't deep dive into those chunks, right? And so whether it's five or whether it's seven, you're only ever going to deep dive into three, right? And this is so you keep the 3x3, 7 ± 2 chunks of information firmly in sight and you're not overwhelming your audience. What it does mean with a main stage keynote is you should be able to actually plug and play which three you go deep on, depending on the audience or what you feel you want to do next. It is a really powerful way for having what feels to be fresh yet consistent content available to you over the years that you're going to be speaking into this. Okay, so we're going to do that for each cluster, right? And we're going to populate what we can and identify the gaps. It's as simple as that. Now, what I also want you to think about is this. The engine room can be an absolute beast. I have mentioned that people swear at me, walk away from me, want out of the room when we're doing this in person, because it's also a very concentrated way of doing it. It is a very different approach to what you're used to, but getting increasingly familiar with this will take you straight into and keep you in the gold zone every time you speak. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Speaker Driven Business. And if you have, I'd love you to do two things for me. Number one, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And number two, leave a review so other people can find and enjoy the content we share. Online, you can find us on Instagram and connect with me personally on LinkedIn. Just head to anygiventuesday.com.au and you will find all the connection points there. Speaker Driven Business is the show making speaking-driven strategies accessible to everyone, and I am honored you tuned in.